Are you okay?
Don't care.
Great. Bring on the bubbly. Babe. This is the last time I'm recording this fucking intro. I am having a day, folks. Here we go. Well, podsters and new listeners, if you make it to the end of this episode and you subscribe on Apple and you follow on Spotify and you rate and review, which you can actually do on Spotify now, you can be a podster too. Welcome aboard the Get Help Express. This is Teeny and this is another episode of Are You Okay? Where we unpack why nobody is okay. Based on the sheer anxiety in my voice right now, I am definitely not okay today. I have had both the worst and kind of best day. There was a massive snow day in Toronto today, folks. Big old snow day in most of Canada, I'm pretty sure, and parts of the US. And so we got hit really bad last night, but you never think it's going to be that bad, right? Like, you get up extra early, you give yourself extra time for your commute, and then you're like, I'm going to be fine. So I got ready and went down to where I park my car outside of my condo, and I realized that it was completely snowed in. And I got my boyfriend up to help me, and he was like, babe, there is no way. We don't even have a shovel. Like, what do you want me to do with this? And I was like, okay, your ass is driving me downtown. And he was like, no, babe, we cannot get on the road right now. Like, it is not safe. The roads are fucked. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, we leave for the ship in 3 weeks. I cannot miss rehearsal today. So for those of you that don't know, I'm actually going back to perform on the cruise ship in the midst of Omicron. Am I okay? Fuck no, but happy to be here, ready to work. Let's go. It's a paycheck. Eternally grateful, of course, to perform as well. And I have no idea what's going to happen to this podcast. So stay tuned, okay? Can you hear the stress in my fucking voice? It's been a day, folks. I'm currently icing my thumb in a bowl of ice, which I will also get to. Okay, so we realize we can't even get his car out of the garage because the ramp to the garage is completely snowed in. But of course, you know, my boyfriend had to flex his masculinity and use his four-wheel drive in his SUV and get us up the ramp. But once we got up the ramp, there were like two cars blocking the exit. Everyone was completely snowed in. The bus that I could have taken to the subway was completely stuck on the corner. The subway was shut on certain parts of the line. Needless to say, my ass was not going anywhere. Okay, so we had a lazy day. We went and played in the snow like we're fucking 5-year-olds, pushing each other, tackling each other. It was actually super cute and like very calming. But then things kind of took a turn for the worse. Not only was it a snow day today, not only is it Martin Luther King Day, but it's also Blue Monday, which is known as the most depressing day of the year, the third Monday in January. And it's also a full moon, the first full moon of 2022. And you know that we take manifesting and full moons and spirituality very fucking seriously on this podcast. For those of you that don't know, please refer to some of my previous episodes if you need a little guidance with that. But I like to always write down what I'm letting go of and write down what I'm manifesting and what I'm bringing into my life, my intentions, my goals, all that good stuff. And so what I like to do is burn that piece of paper and let the universe take care of the rest, right? So I always do this. It's something that I always do, nothing new, but this little ceremony ended in me scalding my thumb. So I lit the paper, and I usually do this on the balcony, but I decided for some fucking stupid reason, because I'm not okay, light it a little bit earlier. And so I lit it in the hallway, and I realized the paper was burning pretty quickly, as paper does, Teeny. And the next thing you know, I was running to the sink to try and like just throw it under some water, and it was too late. It has completely burned my hand. So I'm currently soaking my hand in a bowl of ice, praying and hoping for the best. It if it's any consolation for how my dreams will come true, because every time I look down at my thumb and the blister, it's a friendly reminder to manifest the fuck out of my life, then I will take it. Okay, universe, I will take it, because we are leaving all of that shit in 2021 and we are taking our power back in 2022, and we will keep unpacking truth on this podcast. For those of you that don't know, truth has been the overall theme of season 3, and we have gotten down and dirty with it. I've had some awesome guests who have come on here and shared their truth with all of us. I've got another epic guest in store, someone I've been eager to have on the show for quite some time now, a really good friend of mine. We haven't connected in a long time, but you know how that goes. Chase Ross, who is also known as Uppercase Chase, in the YouTube community, as well as the trans community, the queer community. He is a notorious trans educator, sex educator, YouTube sensation, and he is here to tell his story and his truth about coming out as transgender. So please welcome aboard Chase Ross. Holy shit, Podsters. I have the one and only Chase Ross joining me today. Chase Ross, for those of you that don't know, is a trans educator. I think that's kind of your fanciest title at this point. But this fucker does everything. So Chase and I went to high school together, and I met Chase before he transitioned. So lots to unpack there, but he is I want to call you a famous YouTuber. You have 173,000 subscribers on YouTube. You are a company owner, product creator, trans educator, sex educator. I want to let you take it away to introduce yourself properly. So please welcome Chase.
Thank you for such a cute introduction. I do all of those things. Yes, it's hard sometimes to like think about the amount of things that I do, but
yeah,
I've been making YouTube videos since 2006. I feel so old when I say that, because I was 15 at the time and now I'm 31.
Well, that's it. Like, I remember when you started this, because we went to high school together, Podsters, and we graduated in 2008. But I think that you had started your channel before you came back to high school, correct?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Yeah. I've had my channel for a long time. I talked a lot about my transition in the beginning, and then it kind of turned into more sex related topics and sex education, because there really wasn't much for trans people. And I do a lot of reviews. I like to call them my peen reviews, but
yeah,
I review just a lot of prosthetic penises for the trans community. And if you could only see me now, the cabinet I have behind me is filled with 500 dicks.
Literally. He goes, well, look at the cabinet behind me, Teeny. And I'm like, wait, what? And I remember when you posted, because I used to like religiously watch your content. Not that I don't anymore, but you have so much now. And I lived on cruise ships. And, you know, essentially when that happens to you, you get removed from the outside world. But I remember when you did like some of your first reviews on, what do you call it exactly when, see, I'm already fucking up because I'm trying to say it correctly, but when you start wearing a penis.
Yeah.
What's it called?
A packer.
A packer. That's it. Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get into all of this juicy stuff, Podsters, but I do want to take it back. I want to take it back.
Rewind.
Rewind. Because Chase is like the furthest thing from okay. I can't even hear your laugh that well because your mic is that good.
Meanwhile, oh my God.
My fucking Amazon mic over here.
I got this on Amazon too. Are you kidding me?
I just love your laugh.
YouTube does not pay well.
Right. I'm like, he has all these followers. How much are you making, boo? Well, you live in the States now. So question mark on the healthcare. But okay. Okay. So 10 years ago, wow, Teeny, no, your high school graduation was like, what, 3 years ago now? So
stop, I'm going to cry.
I'm going to vomit, actually. So we met first day of high school. Now, for those of you that don't know, in Quebec, you go to high school in grade 7. Question mark all around. And this was before you had started your transition. And we were in grade 7 and we met in gym class, correct?
Oh, yes, we did. I just love going back in the past and talking about these stories because it really shaped who I am today. And I was just such a weirdo. Like, just...
Well, so is I. And like, that's the thing, like weirdos unite, right? Like when you come from elementary school, you have your like elementary school friends and then you go to high school with like all these other different circles and then everyone starts to kind of like mingle, right? And I remember, I think it was like the afternoon, it was like September, it was still really nice how we were in our like gym uniforms and we were playing field hockey. What yes. the fuck? All girls gym class, also yep. a question mark. And you took the field hockey stick and this is how I knew we were going to be best friends. I was like, okay, he like, you are fucked up. You took the field hockey stick and you turned it around and you pretended to be like a granny and you were like, granny! And you started like walking around the field. And I was like, oh, that's a funny motherfucker right there.
I can't. I just remember that day so well. Granny!
And honestly, we connected from that moment and your high school journey was a whirlwind.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah. So before we get into your truth about transitioning, why don't you kind of give us the Cliff Notes version of why high school was such a whirlwind for you and what led you to the day that you realized that, again, I'm putting words in your mouth. I don't know if you always knew, but bring us to the day that you came out. Take it away.
Take it away. All right. So I feel like that's two completely different questions. It's very interesting. So let me okay. give you the like very quick Cliff Notes of high school because it was so complicated for me. In grade 8, I got expelled from high school because they found weed in my locker. There was like a millimeter of weed. There was like nothing. I didn't even smoke weed. I did before, but I had stopped. So I got expelled and had to go to this alternate school for a year, which was not great. The kids there were a little bit bad, so I worked really hard. I worked my ass off to make sure I could go back to my original high school. So then in grade 10, I was able to actually come back. So
yes.
that, thank God. I was very happy because I lived 8-minute walk away from my high school. Like I wanted to go back there. All my friends were there. So I'm really glad that I like worked really hard to come back. Within all of this, like school and academic stuff changing is when I realized that I was trans. And that was complicated because in 2005, I believe I found the first trans person ever online. I was like very, very confused. Because I didn't really understand what I was looking at. This might have been 2006, actually. And I went all over YouTube trying to find information. And I was like, what is this? Like, why do I feel connected to this? And I just was very confused. And ever since that moment, that kind of projected me into like realizing who I am. But I will tell you, it took years of self-doubt to actually admit to myself, just to myself, not to anybody else, that, okay, this is me.
Okay.
Because,
so
yeah.
Why don't you explain like in terms of your sexuality, what you were identifying yourself as prior to those like life-changing moments?
Yeah. So in high school, I was like the only lesbian, like that's what it felt like.
You were like the token lesbian in high school.
Absolutely. And we had such a big class and no one else was gay. Our high school was huge. No lesbians. No gay. Like what?
Sweetie, that class was crawling with gays.
Oh, I know now. Now they're all out now. Must be nice. Trailblazer over here being lesbian since day one. All these people are queer and trans. Must be nice. I'm kidding.
But
I'm
glad I have to hand it to you, Chase. Like you were always so open and so positive. And I know you've been through a shit ton in your life, but you were always such a fun energy to be around. Like you weren't ashamed from what I could see of who you were.
No, especially not being a lesbian. I don't know why I was just, this is just who I am. I just knew that that's who I am. And if you don't like it, fuck off. Like that was just the attitude I had from like the beginning. And I mean, of course, in the beginning, I was like, I'm bisexual. And people are like, that's gross. And then I was like, I'm not actually bi, I'm a lesbian.
You were always interested in women,
yeah.
those who identified as women.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, so my sexuality throughout high school was always a lesbian. So I knew I was different. And I thought that being lesbian and being attracted to women meant, okay, that means that I'm a lesbian. But then finding all of these YouTube videos and like finding articles and trying to read as much as I possibly could about trans people, I was like, huh, maybe this is why I feel different. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm actually trans and I'm not like just a lesbian. So it was very interesting to kind of tiptoe through sexuality and gender identity at the same time and try to really figure out like what actually feels right for me.
Yeah. And you were also still so young at this point. You hadn't graduated from high school.
I was 15. I remember 15 when I first like thought, huh, maybe I'm trans. And for the next 2 years, literally every month it would be, yes, I'm trans. No, I'm not trans. That's disgusting. I can't be trans. I don't want to be trans. And I would go through these periods where I would like buy a lot of trans related things like books and clothing. And then I would throw it all out because I'm like, that's disgusting. I don't want to be trans. And only years and years later, I actually found out that's a very trans trope. And that's a trans thing. Yeah. A lot of trans people that I know have actually done that where they're like, no, I'm not trans. This is, I can't be. So they throw everything out and then they have to rebuy everything. So yeah. So I did that for a couple of years and that's torture. That's straight up torture. Yeah. To deal with that and to, oh my God, like to try to convince yourself that you're not trans. And it finally clicked when I was like, literally this happens every single month. I need to stop. I need to just accept this. People are going to hate me. I might lose my family. I might lose everything, but I won't lose myself. And that's when I was like, okay, I have accepted this. I know that I'm trans. And that was really tough. But I was 17 when I was like, yep, this is me.
Okay. Was that at this point, Podsters, just to give you even more backstory about our relationship, I remember when you came back to high school after doing some time away. You were in prison, apparently. But I remember when people went to the alternate, it was like, oh my God, you went to the alternate. Like, you are like bad.
Yeah. Very bad. I know. You're so bad. It was, yeah.
Oh, ridiculous. Disgusting. But you came back and everyone was calling you Ellen because Ellen was huge at this point. Ellen had just started and you were dressing like Ellen. Everyone was calling you Ellen. It was just, it's so absurd looking back. But we actually ended up rooming together in college.
We did. A life. What a weird life we've had. Also, I totally forgot about people calling me Ellen. Thank you for reopening that memory. Oh my God. I literally went to the store and bought clothes because I wanted to look like Ellen. I had blonde hair. Oh my God.
Had short blonde hair. You had like the Converse, the fitted like collared shirts. Like you were Ellen for those like last 2 years of high school.
My God. My locker was all pictures of Ellen too. Like, okay, lesbian obsessed.
But I remember that vividly. And so now that you're saying that you came out as trans at 17 years old to yourself.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember if you had told me in college.
No. I don't think so. Okay. Because we did room together. That would have been the second semester of college. So mm-hmm. we would have been 18. I had not told anybody at that point. Only myself and then people online. The thing is, I had made videos during that time where I was like, I'm trans, I'm not trans. And those videos are probably like the most raw form of my emotions. And because of my whole, yes, I'm trans, no, I'm not trans, those videos are deleted. And I think about those videos every year. And it makes me so sad that I deleted those because I wish I had access to that content to really see what I was thinking. But also I'm kind of glad that they're gone because I remember being just so tortured and I didn't tell anybody even in college. It was so awkward. I felt so different walking through the halls and going to school. I felt very alone. Like I didn't really have any friends when I went to that college. And
yeah.
I kept to myself because I didn't want friends where I would have to tell them eventually that I'm trans because I knew that I was planning on starting to transition soon because I was now 18 and I felt like I had to wait until I was 18.
So you were in a sense, ostracizing yourself because it was easier to go through this alone. Like, you felt like it was easier to be alone in that endeavor.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow. Because I remember those days. Like, it was, you know, I was in a relationship and I was in a theater program with a ton of friends, and you very much, and you were so full of life still, but I do remember you being in your apartment all the time. You never wanted to do anything. You would go home on the weekends, and you're right. Like, you were 100% like on your own there, because you were like, I'm not going to stay here. And that's that. And so once you had left college, and we stopped living together, is that when you fully came out as trans?
I would say that's when I started to my friends. I think that my very close friends from high school kind of had an indication a little bit. They didn't. I actually asked them a couple of years ago. They're like, we had no idea. We just love you and accepted you. So I was like crying. Thank you. But
yeah,
we all worked at Beaver Tails together at the amusement park over the
summer.
La Ronde. And Beaver Tails, like, stretched out dough that you put in a fryer and then you put like banana and peanut butter on it. I don't know. It costs like $12 and people eat it up.
Yeah. People in the States call it fried dough. I'm like, no, it's a beaver tail.
Yeah. Or elephant ears. What the? No, it's a beaver tail. Anyway.
It's our good castor.
So one day I was at work and I was like, hey guys, I need to tell you something. I made an appointment with a doctor to talk about my gender. And almost right away, it all kind of clicked for them, and they hugged me and were very, very happy for me, because I was looking forward to that appointment for years, because you have to be 18. And at the time in 2009, this was the only way you could transition in Montreal. You had to go through the hospital, the Montreal General Hospital. There were no other ways to do it. When I turned 18 and, you know, a couple months into it, when I left college, actually, I called the office, hung up, was too scared. And then I called again and I was like, I need to make an appointment with my shaky voice. I need to make an appointment. It was, yeah, because I needed
to have. Your voice was not as deep as it is now. I know.
No, it was not.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about that first appointment? What was that like?
Oh my God, I feel like you're expecting it to be good. I want you to know to rip those expectations down, because it was the worst appointment of my entire life to this day. Yes. I wasn't sure what to expect. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to be a doctor who runs the program assessing me to see if I could come into the program and to start having therapy and transitioning. There was a panel of 4 or 5 people that sat in a room, and I was alone on one side of the room. And they asked me so many questions about my life, so many very personal questions about like what I think about when I masturbate, and who I imagine myself being, and what type of people do I date, and do I date women only, or have I had sex with men? And very like focused on sexuality.
Interesting.
I know. And so I was stressed out, because here's the thing. I've never in my life fully identified 100% as male. I do not identify that way. I've always said I'm like in the middle of the middle. So like 50 to 75%, the rest of me is a squiggle. That's just how I see myself. And now as the years have gone by, I'm more like 50% male, 50% squiggle. Like, it's just, you just work with it. It's just all flowing. It doesn't really matter at this point, honestly.
Yeah. And would you call that fluid?
Yeah, I would just say fluid. Some people would call that non-binary. Yeah. I'm not personally identify with that word. Maybe in the future I would, but at this moment in my life, I still am okay with just using trans as just the identifier for me. But I just like squiggle. I have a tattoo of a squiggle on my leg because of it. You know, like, I just, that's just so who cool. I am.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. And trying to explain that to a panel of doctors was not good, because I was like, I kind of flip flop, you know, sometimes I feel 100% male, sometimes I don't, because I was trying to get them to get me in the program. Anyways, the assessment was over. I had to wait like an hour to get their decision. Doctor tells me, you are not trans enough. You will not come into this program. hearing a gender specialist, and I'm doing like quotation marks here, and I'm rolling my eyes, tell me that I'm not trans, crushed me. And I think threw me back in the closet because I was like, oh, maybe I'm not trans. So that was a horrible experience for me. And it took months and months for me to realize that this person is a quack and does not know what the fuck they're talking about. And I know who I am. And there isn't just one way to be trans. And in their eyes, there was only one way to be trans. And I honestly feel like it's a blessing that I never made it into that program, because you have to pay for therapy, which it should be covered, but it's not. And they decide when you can go on hormones. They decide when you can have surgery. I don't like that. Trans people already don't have agency over their bodies with anything, legal stuff, anything. Everything is always, we have to wait. We can't do anything ourselves. We need permission. So having to have complete like agency taken away from me, no way. I needed to do this myself. So I found a loophole.
I was going to say, because that was your only resource at the time that you knew of, correct?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So what was this loophole?
I found my own endocrinologist and I was like, can you prescribe me testosterone? And he was like, okay. Because I found out that there were some endocrinologists in Montreal that do trans patients. And I was like, I'm jumping on this because this, I figured out that you don't actually have to do it at the hospital. They just put it into you that this is the only place you can transition because that's where they want you to go. It was lies.
And what is an endocrinologist for? I mean, I don't even know what that is.
Endocrinologist deals with hormones.
I was going to say,
diabetes also.
Okay.
Insulin and things like that. So it's mostly like thyroid issues and trans people. It's literally you go in that waiting
spectrum.
You go in that waiting room and it's like, oh, thyroid issue, trans person.
Overactive, underactive, trans.
Right? Love it.
Okay, so do you remember the first day that you had your first injection?
Oh my God, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Tell us. Oh my God.
It was such a stressful day because I was so excited. I run to my endocrinologist appointment thinking it was at a certain time, but I was actually half an hour late. So I'm crying and I'm running from the metro. It was a mess. I get my prescription. He says, we can do an injection course for you to learn how to do an injection, but the nurse is not here today. And I was like, oh no, I've been waiting for this like my whole life. Literally. I'm going to go to the CLSC, the clinic, and get them to do it there because I've heard that some people can do it there. So I go to the CLSC. They tell me I can't do your injection because you need to have your physical prescription. I'm like, are you kidding me? I run back to the pharmacy, get them to give me back my original prescription, go back to the CLSC. I'm sweating. They're about to close. The nurse is about to go home. But I can breathe. She says, okay, let's go in the back. I sit down. At the time, I was with my girlfriend at the time, which I felt was great to have a little bit of support with me.
Yeah.
And I sit down. The nurse kind of slowly takes the testosterone out of the vial and injects me. And I have photos from that moment. And seriously, I was crying. I was so happy. I felt like this was the first day of my life, first day of my new life. Like I can actually start to live now, which sounds so corny thinking about it now, like 12 years later, but that's really how I felt. You know, I was 19 and I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, especially being so open and having started this online community and having learned so much through that. It's like you were the first person that I personally knew that I had a relationship with that was trans.
Yeah.
And I remember being in Toronto and seeing you come out about all of this and just being like, wow, like he's so fucking brave. And everyone was talking about it. Like I remember. And so why don't you take us back to, I'm a little bit interested in the mental health aspect of your journey up until this point, your relationship with your dad, and I know you don't drink, and well, is that still the same?
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of just a little idea of what all of that looked like for you before you started transitioning.
Oh, yeah. I went through a pretty dark period, especially in grade 8 before I got expelled. I was just not doing okay. we don't know what mental health is when we're that young or even at that time period. Now people are talking about mental health, which is awesome. But at that time, like, I'm depressed meant I'm sad. We don't actually know what depression is, but I definitely suffered from depression. And now I can now I know why. I was dealing with a lot of emotions that I did not understand. I did not know where to put them. So I used to trigger warning, in case anybody needs the trigger warning, self-harm. I used to self-harm a lot, like a lot, because I was so depressed. And I used to smoke a lot of weed and I used to drink a lot. And it was not healthy as like a 13, 14 year old to be doing that. But I just was not aware of what was going on in my brain. And I also feel like I did have some not so great influences that I was friends with at that time.
Me, I'm like, well, I was your squeaky clean friend at the time.
You were.
How funny, eh, guys? So by the way, trigger warning for anyone. I'm kidding. I shouldn't make fun of a trigger warning. I was like not straight edge, but like just such a good kid.
Yes.
It was weird. But I also went through my own stuff at home as to why I was such a good kid. So I do remember you going down this quote unquote dark path.
Yes.
I think it has very much attributed to who you are today. So I don't want to look back on it negatively at all, but I do remember this. I do remember you cutting. I do remember all of this. And you're right. People didn't know how to even talk about it.
Even the counselors at school did not know, because it's a joke, but you're like, counselors can say, oh, tell me anything, I won't tell anyone. And then you tell them something and they go and call the cops. Like that.
It was I remember that shit. That was fucked up.
Yeah. Like they did not get me the proper mental health help that I needed at all. I should have, like, they suggested I go to the ER and talk to a psychiatrist. Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
I don't know what it's like today. Like, my sister is 15 and she's going through some stuff now. And the schools have kind of just told her to go to the children's hospital to get help, which is like, okay, but they need to do more. I don't know what more, but there needs to be some type of intervention because kids are like depressed, especially now. Oh my God.
Especially now. It's very worrisome to see how everyone's going to end up.
Yeah.
Myself included. okay. So how long have you been sober for?
All right. So there was a little hiccup in my soberness. So when I was doing the cutting and drinking and smoking weed, I actually had a panic attack one day when I was cutting, and it freaked me out because I did not know what a panic attack was. And I thought I was literally going to die. I run up to my dad. I'm like, you need to take me to the hospital. I'm literally dying right now. I don't know what's happening. He's freaking out. So we're going to the hospital. And when we're going to the hospital, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Why am I doing this? Why am I ruining this in my body? I don't want to die. I want to be here. I want to still drive by Guzzo, the movie theater where we hang out. I want to go to Burger King, because those were all the places like on the way to the hospital that you're driving by, right?
Yeah,
we go to the hospital and we're waiting, and my panic attack slowly stops. So we go home instead of seeing a doctor. And that moment I was like, I'm never cutting again. I will never drink again. And I will never smoke weed again. So that's why for all of high school after that, I did not drink or smoke. And a lot of people didn't know that. That was the reason why. And when I turned 21, I was like, I'm mature now. I'm an adult. I could drink. So when I went to Scotland to visit my girlfriend at the time, another girlfriend, I was like, okay, there's these like really cute cocktails. Let me drink.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't go well. I drank too much, too quickly, and for the wrong reasons. And when I came back to Montreal, same thing happened. I felt like I was going out too often, and I didn't like the path that I was going, knowing the path that I had taken when I was younger. So at that moment, I actually was seeking mental health help. And a doctor had told me, you shouldn't drink because it's a depressant. And if you're going on antidepressants, you don't want to make it worse. And I was like, oh, you know what? That's a good point. So I decided at that moment, I will no longer drink, because I know I have a very addictive personality and I know what it does to my mental health and what it can do to my body. So I have now been sober for 8 years. So.
Wow. And you just made those decisions.
Yes. Yes.
It's so interesting to me because we always hear about the latter. We hear about rehab. We hear about people begging people to get help. And then there's the other side of the spectrum where you were like, nope, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take it back to coming out as trans.
Yes.
So you've come out as trans. You're starting your injection process. Where are you at in your YouTube journey now?
All right. So I had been making YouTube videos for a couple of years. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but when we were roommates, they were roommates.
I know.
In college, I was actually filming YouTube videos for a collab channel that I was on called Mighty Men. And I was the youngest person there. I was the only one that had not begun really their transition. And it was just like weekly topics about random things. And I was still so unsure of myself, but I felt like it was important to still have this part of me that was still open, but hidden. It was very interesting. So when I started hormones, I was making a lot of videos. I filmed everything. I took pictures of everything. I took voice clips and made sure that everything I possibly could have was documented, because I don't know, I'm obsessed with documenting everything. So at the time, I didn't have a lot of followers. You know, I just did it for, you know, people that I met online, friends and things like that. But yeah, I did not have a huge following. It was just more for me. I was doing it so that I could track all of my changes, because I knew it was going to be really cool to see how different I look in a year.
It's really cool. Like, I remember you would post like 6 months, 1 year,
yes,
2 years.
I still do.
Yeah. And for anyone who's interested, it's all up there.
Yeah.
So I'll totally share that with the listeners. When did you, I hate using the term like make it big, but when did you really start to pick up? When did, so, yeah.
I would say there's two instances. So after 1 year on hormones, I actually decided to stop. I know. And this is not common. It's more common now, I would say. But back then, so that would have been 2011, it was not common for people to do that and talk about it online. Let me tell you that.
Okay.
And some people just go off hormones because they don't feel like they need it, or they only wanted certain changes, or they don't feel like, you know, things like that. But for me personally, I felt like I was scared. I looked in the mirror and I couldn't recognize myself. And that scared me a little bit. I felt like the changes were too fast, which is strange because that's what I wanted. I wanted right. The changes to go fast. I wanted to have a facial hair and a facial like shape that was masculine and a deeper voice. But what really freaked me out was I had seen a video of somebody that I knew who did a comparison of his voice before hormones, 1 year and 2 years. And the 2 year voice was so deep compared to the first year. And that freaked me out. And I don't know why. To this day, I don't know. And honestly, because we're doing 100% truth, I haven't actually talked about this publicly ever, I don't think. I had a girlfriend at the time, a different one. And she identified as more of a lesbian, and it sounds weird, but I felt like I was losing her, and I felt like I needed to stop hormones and start re-identifying as a lesbian. And it's so embarrassing to say that today, but that's just, I was 20 years old and that's just how I felt. I feel like I'm a people pleaser. I have a lot of abandonment issues and I did not want to lose another person. And I felt like this might be the thing that would keep them in my life. It didn't. Like,
honestly, you unpacking that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we make sacrifices for the people that we love.
Yeah, so it wasn't the only reason. It was one of the reasons. The big one was that I felt like I couldn't recognize myself. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I just needed a break. And I even said in those videos, like, I'm not detransitioning. I'm not trans. I'm still trans just because I'm going off of hormones. And I just need a little break. And let me tell you, people were fucking outraged at this. And that was one of the things I feel like that made me more popular. Tumblr was huge back then. And a lot of people talk shit about my video and said that I was giving trans people a really bad name. I was making trans people look bad because it looked like I was detransitioning. I was put on this like lesbian blog of like, oh my God, this person is horrible. I'm not even going to say the name because I don't even want people to go on the website, but
right.
This person,
look,
like,
haters will tune in more yeah. than fans.
Oh yeah. So this person, she would like screenshot trans people and like be like, our girls are getting away from us and now they're starting to turn into men and all this really bullshit. So when I said I'm going off of hormones, people were like, oh, our lesbian is coming back to us. I was like, what the fuck? So I had to make another video clarifying everything. So I feel like that gave me a little more like popularity because people knew, oh, I went off of hormones. So anybody who actually wanted to go off of hormones or was thinking about it would talk to me privately. And those conversations are completely confidential. And I know people that I'm super close with that went off hormones and no one knew, you know, like it, why is it so hush hush? It shouldn't be, but it was, but I was one of the first to like straight up say, I need a break and it's okay because we're not all the same.
What happens when you take a break though, Chase? Like, do you go backwards or do you kind of stay the same?
Some changes change back and some are irreversible, will always stay the same. Voice will always stay the same. Facial hair starts to slowly like go away and not grow in as fast. Receding hairline stops, which was amazing. And honestly, another one of the big things, I was like, I don't want to lose my hair. I need a fucking break. Give me hair until I'm
killing me.
I'm not even joking. I literally used to say, don't you dare make me bald. Don't you, I don't even know who I was talking to. It was like, don't you dare make me bald. Give me hair until I'm at least 30. And now I'm 31. And I'm like, don't you fucking dare give me, keep
don't
my hair.
Touch it.
Don't touch it. Some things that, I guess goes back would be like the redistribution of fat. So it goes back near the hips. So you look like you have like more full hips,
right?
And the facial structure kind of changes a little bit. But yeah, the voice kind of stays forever. And then the, because this is a truth podcast and you want to know all the tea.
I want to know all of it. Give it to
all
me.
All of it. The growth that you get downstairs stays.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that doesn't ever go back either.
The growth.
The okay. growth.
Yes. I think we all know what that means. Yeah.
I mean, I can explain it very quickly if people don't know, but I'm going to be using some words.
Well, I mean, hey, you knock yourself out, but fine. I don't give a shit. How long did you do that for?
I would say about 10 months.
Long?
Yes. Yeah. I was off. And then I started dating someone new.
What and are we at? 7? I'm obsessed.
Okay, that's 4. Chill.
No, I'm kidding.
So I started dating somebody new and kind of reassessed my identity and who and how I wanted to be perceived by people. And at that time, I actually started to get misgendered because my facial structure kind of like changed back to a more feminine look. People were starting to misgender me and call me she and madame. And I was losing my shit. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm going back because that kind of like solidified to me. Oh, okay. Yeah. I absolutely want to be perceived in like a masculine male he way and not in a madame way.
Madame, excuse moi.
Excuse moi, madame. Oh my God. So the grocery store.
And so at this point on, you know, your government records, all that stuff, you had everything changed, correct? Or no?
No, I did not. It is a fucking journey to do that in Quebec.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm kind of like, what's your best advice at that point? Like,
so
I'm like,
everything is easier now.
Okay.
For people like me who trailblaze, I'm kidding. I did nothing. But I will say that changing your name back then was very tricky because there was no like selection that you can put, I'm trans, I need to change my name. You had to say like, this name can cause me harm or something like that. And you have to explain your whole life story in like one page. So it was pretty intense because you also have to put your name in the Journal de Montréal. You have to put it in there saying that you're getting a name change. You have to put your full address and your phone number.
What?
And yeah, it was like birth name is changing their name to Chase Ross, who lives at blah, 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 blah. And you had to put that in the newspaper twice and you had to clip it from the newspaper and send it to the government to prove that you did that because it's for people who like change your name to like evade taxes or something.
Tell me it's not like that anymore.
It is not. You can now okay. You can now click a button and you no longer have to put in the newspaper. But
my gosh, how invasive.
You don't even know. It's scary. Like people, it's like, yeah. Especially if you're going from an obvious like feminine name to a masculine name and your address is there. Hello. Like that's literally dangerous. People could know that and like straight up look for that. So that was not fun. And then my gender marker to say male, I fucking sneaked the system. Let me tell you, you don't fuck with me. You don't fuck with trans people because we will find ways to fucking make backdoors to figure shit out.
No shit. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So gender marker change, you have to have bottom surgery. You have to at least have had a hysterectomy. Girlfriend, I don't want a hysterectomy. I'm not going to let the government tell me I need to be sterilized in order to change my gender marker. So I had top surgery in the United States because the surgeon I wanted was in the US. So I paid out of pocket. Cha-ching. Let me tell you.
Holy shit. So top surgery for anyone who doesn't know, bottom surgery for anyone who doesn't know. Can you just quickly?
Yeah. So top surgery for me personally, I had them big titties. They used to call me sumo tits. So I had a procedure.
Wait a second. I do remember that. Okay. Thank you. We were so fucked up.
I know. Oh my goodness. They weren't like that big, but you know, in high school, when you're like a young kid and you got big titties.
And I was literally flat chest until I was 19.
And plouched at plywood.
Truly.
Yeah. So the procedure I had done is called double incision. So they basically just like remove all the breast tissue and you have like two long scars, like where underneath the titties would be. And then yes. They take your nipples off and make them smaller and then put them, attach them back on.
Okay.
So that's the surgery that I had. There's other surgeries. Like if you wanted to have top surgery, yours would have no scars. They would cut around the nipple, suction all the stuff around it, and then close you up and you would have flat chest, no scars. Must be nice. Kidding.
Look at I me actually with love my cis straight identity just fucking everything up.
I love my scars. I've grown to absolutely love them. So that's top surgery. And then bottom surgery, there's many different, but usually they either release your junk down there and then so that it like isn't so attached to your body, or they take a skin graft from your arm or your leg and they create a phallus. It's a whole procedure. It's long. That could be a whole fucking episode, but.
No, for sure. But thank you for just kind of unpacking that quickly. So you had top surgery in the States.
Yes.
You did not have bottom surgery and it was your destiny to still be able to change your gender.
Oh.
In Canada.
Absolutely. So what I did was because you have surgery in a different country, in Quebec, they require a Quebec doctor to look at your results.
Classic.
Fucking weird. So fucking weird. And confirm that this is true. So what I did, I copy pasted the exact law into the letter. My doctor was like, I mean, you didn't change all your secondary sex characteristics, but I'll sign it. So she signs it. I send it to the government, sweating. They're never going to do this. A couple months later, fucking approved. Don't you fuck with me, man. I fucking worked it. I'm like one of the only people that I know that was able to get their gender marker change without any type of bottom surgery before the law was changed. I'm very proud of that fact because I found a backdoor, bitch, and you don't fuck with me.
Well, I never fucked with you. Just saying. And yeah, that's a journey. I'm just like thinking while you're telling me all this, Chase, I'm like, fuck, like while you're in school. While you're working, while you're dealing with regular life, like while family, your sister, like I'm like, how did you have the time to do all of this? Like, I'm like, you must be exhausted just trying to fight the system.
It is exhausting, especially because it's during like college and university, like trying to make sure that surgery is scheduled when I'm not in school. And it was just... Honestly, I have no idea how I did it because I would have to run out of class to get calls from the government to try to get them to like say that, yes, we'll change your gender marker. But I had a fucking French man saying, you need a penis to be a man. Yo, what? Mr. Government agency? Literally a man from the government in Quebec said that to me. It was very stressful and
traumatizing.
I suffered in like my first semester, but then I kind of realized like I need to do better in school and I need to focus on myself because then when my transition is like more underway, it'll feel better. But even at that time, I couldn't even imagine myself older. But
here we are.
Here we are. Let me tell you, when I realized I was trans at 16, I thought I was going to die at 21. I know that that's a weird thing. This is actually really common for some trans people to say. I could not imagine myself older than 21. I had not really seen a lot of trans people that were over the age of 21 or were successful or had a university degree. I thought when you're trans, that's it. You can't go to school. You can't have a business. You can't have a career. You can't do anything. You can't have a family. You are just trans. I did not realize that you could be trans and do all of these amazing things and still be an amazing person.
Which is exactly what you're fucking doing. Like, do you see yourself?
Thank you.
Do you though? Like, do you have a little bit of imposter syndrome? Like, do you
100%.
See the level of achievement that you've, like, you paved the way for so many people. Like, you realize that, right?
I know that I'm one of the like OG trans YouTubers, and I'm one of the only ones that's still on YouTube, which is a big thing, because a lot of the ones that were started with me are gone now, and they've all removed their videos because they just live their life and they don't tell people that they're trans. They just live their life. It doesn't really matter. So they've removed all of their videos. So I think it's super important even to this day that people can go back on my channel, videos from 12, 13, 14 years ago, and see all of my thought processes. Like, there was a video where I'm crying because I'm terrified of having top surgery a week before I'm leaving for top surgery. Do you know what I'm saying? Those videos are so crucial to who I am and so important to like leave online to show that I was vulnerable. And yeah, you're allowed to be scared. Top surgery is a huge surgery to have. It's okay to be scared, even though you want it. I absolutely want this. I will tell you, my entire life, the one decision I have never regretted, and I'm so happy I did, was top surgery. Absolutely. Testosterone.
And why is that? Yeah. Why is like, that?
I was free. Yeah. I was free. The second they took the surgical binder off and I saw my chest for the first time, my fucking life began again. I was like, I can live. I can live. I will be old. I will be old and I will live.
Yeah. I mean, breasts. Hello. You see boobs, you think woman, right? So
yeah,
it's just, we've all come such a long way. Yeah. Like the way you're talking about all the things and all the hoops that you had to jump through, some of them no longer exist, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm just like, I can't believe everything that you've gone through. Like it's crazy. So we could talk about this for hours, obviously, but
we didn't talk about my dad. I did want to, I mentioned that.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about family life and then let's get into where you are now.
Okay. Yeah. Just because I feel like having a little family background might be interesting just so that people know.
Totally.
I'm not close to my mom at all. She left when I was one. Don't talk to her. I have her on Facebook. I don't really care about her. Sucks to suck.
No, but Chase, I remember like you would make jokes about your mom that left you. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm laughing.
So fucked up.
I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable, but like you would literally like pull her up and be like, this is my fucking mom who left me. Ah, fuck her. Like, literally.
It's so much trauma. They should have put me in fucking therapy, man. Come on. So I'm very close to my dad. My dad's like my best friend, very close to him. I was terrified to come out to him because I thought he would leave me. And I knew he wouldn't because he's my dad, but I was still terrified. So I started like posting online that I was going to start hormones. I had not told him I was trans. 0%. He did not know. I feel so bad, honestly. He calls me the week before I start hormones. He says, what are these pills you're going to be taking? I had to explain, it's testosterone. It's going to make me look more masculine. I did not say the word trans. I still did not technically come out to him. Let's fast forward 8 years later. We actually have a conversation about me being trans.
Wow.
8 years. In those 8 years, here and there, we talked a little bit about it. I was like, you need to stop calling me on my old name. You need to call me he, because now you look dumb in public because I look like a man and you're saying she. You look like you need to be in a psych ward. Like, you need to understand what people see versus what you see.
Yeah, the perception.
Exactly. So it took years and years, but now we're in such a great place where like we can talk about it and it's like no big deal. And it feels really good to have like the support of my dad. And I'm so glad that like, he's just the way that he is. He's just like very supportive and that we had like conversations. I feel so bad that it was years and years later. Like, you don't even know.
I don't know, and I can't even imagine. I do remember your dad, though. He was always so cool. I used to love going over to your place. And thanks for sharing that. So you have a sister now. So your dad ended up remarrying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, marrying. He wasn't married to my mom.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. So what's that like? What's it like having a 15-year-old sister who's growing up in this time where everything is different?
Yo.
Trying to explain to her, like, what it used to be like.
Yo, kids are so woke.
Like, I know.
It's amazing to see. I think about this all the time. What if I was 15 and realizing I'm trans right now? My life would be so different. Like, you could transition in high school, and people know people who are, there are people at our high school who are trans and transitioning. Like, that to me is amazing. What groundbreaking that, like, people have always been trans. I feel like I'm a complete indication of that. I knew I was trans all in high school. I didn't tell anybody. Like, I didn't come out. And now people feel comfortable to come out and tell their parents and tell people. So it's crazy. I love it. My sister is one of those, like she's very interesting. It's just, she's 15. Oh my God, to go back to 15. No thanks. But you know, TikTok and trends and why are you wearing that hair? Like, we used to, like, why did you understand me? And now they're saying that because we don't understand them.
It really... they're, like, making fun of millennials and, like, our side parts and our, like, skinny jeans. Like, they're making fun of us.
Never will leave this side part. I will always wear skinny jeans. Get the fuck out of here with your, like, big jeans and, like, big sweaters where you only see legs. Where are your legs? Like, where are your shorts? You just see
big
sweater.
No, it's all... baggy clothes.
Yes.
Pandemic life. I'm like, okay, I'm not mad about it, but I'm kind of mad about it because I'm like, look at my ass. Yeah. Anyways, so where are you now, Chase? So after having been on YouTube since you were 15, that's like literally, you have been on YouTube more than half of your life.
Yes,
I
have.
Just to make you feel geriatric. Can you share with the podsters your biggest achievement, whether it be something that you achieved within the community, whether it be like helping someone? Is there anything that sticks out to you?
I don't think there's one single event. There's a couple. I made a video 10 years ago, actually. And that was the second thing that made me, like, put me on the map on YouTube, was the Shit Trans Guy Say video. Making that video changed my life forever. Changed my life. And after that, getting comments from people saying that I help them or I make them feel seen was amazing. And I still get those comments. So that to me makes me feel good. I do get a lot of messages from people who are very grateful that I've kept all of my videos online. And I feel like that's a huge accomplishment because I know that I've helped so many younger trans people. And it makes me feel good when I've helped trans people that are in their 50s and 60s. Like, that are coming out in their 50s and 60s and saying that my videos as a 20-year-old help them. To me, that's wild and makes me feel like I am contributing something good. And I do have imposter syndrome a lot, but I am very proud that I've kind of stuck to it and I'm doing what I love. I also feel like getting my master's degree was a huge accomplishment for me because I was never good at school. And I feel like that was just so big, and being able to, like, stick to my guns and do trans research. And that is actually what I'm doing now. So I actually just got a job at Columbia. I'm a research assistant on a project where we're doing research with trans people and, like, cardiovascular health.
Oh my gosh, congrats. So what is your master's in?
I have a master's in sociology.
Okay. And so you're going to be working. So you're based in New Jersey now, just for anyone who's like,
he's working at Columbia. I know, right? Yeah. I'm in New Jersey. Yes.
Not in good old Montreal anymore. No. And okay. So tell us a little bit about your little side hustles you got going on, your cream.
Got a lot of side hustles. I have a company called Flat and Flawless. It's a scar cream for, like, post-op top surgery scars. And I make that with my partner's mom. So my mother-in-law, whatever it's called. Because she's a very like hippy dippy, makes creams and essential oils and all those things.
Love.
And so we collaborated together to make this amazing scar cream. So that's one of the things that I do. I have like a blog that I do where I'm reviewing products, and that gives a little bit more information on like other than my videos, because the thing is on YouTube, they like restrict so much now and they demonetize. It's a fucking mess. I also have an OnlyFans account where I started that in September, and it's amazing because I'm giving educational content that I can't do on YouTube. I'm okay. Straight up showing people how to use a masturbation sleeve, how to do this, how to use. Yeah. There's
what is a masturbation sleeve?
You know, like a fleshlight?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like that, but way smaller.
Okay. Oh,
much
right.
Smaller,
okay.
So that someone like me could use it. So I make videos where I'm actually using it so people can see exactly how you're supposed to use it or what it's about, so that people can make informed decisions about the products that they want to buy. It's been very rewarding for me, honestly, to see that I'm finally able to make this type of content that doesn't exist out there, and being able to be paid for it because it's a membership.
Yeah, I mean, congrats on like every, are you okay? Like, obviously not. I'm just so proud of you. I'm so proud to call you a friend. I'm so grateful that we've stayed in touch. You've always been such a huge like supporter of mine, and vice versa. So thank you for sharing your story and your truth. Where
always.
Can we find you, baby?
Oh my goodness. You can go on my Instagram and my YouTube. I have like the same username on everything, and OnlyFans.
Come on, go and pay that son of a bitch. He has been through the ringer.
My username is uppercase Chase. So yes. that you can find me. I'm all over the internet with that username.
You are something yes. else. I like did a quick Google search too, and I was like, this motherfucker, like I can't even get an IMDb credit.
Oh my God. Okay, let me say something, because this was all about me. I need to turn the page for 1 second and put
Ew,
it about
no.
you. For 1 second. All right. For one okay. second. My whole life that I've known you, I have always said, if there's one person in my life that will be famous, it will be Teeny. I have literally always thought that. You are like my like Broadway, like musical theater, Disney cruise, like friend. And I'm like so proud of everything that you've accomplished. And I'm so glad that we're still friends. Like even after all these years after high school, like we graduated in 2008.
I have not seen you since the high school reunion.
Yes.
That we both went to. Were we okay?
Yeah.
And prior to that, I hadn't seen you in forever. So I'm so grateful. So thank you so much for coming on the show. You are a podster. You are an official Are You Okay guest. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you so much for having me.